Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. Another sunny day in Dublin, and the forecast is good for the next couple of days as well. So it looks like it's going to be a good weekend, and we're gaining an hour of sunshine on Sunday with the changing in the hour, losing our sleep, gaining an hour of daylight, well, at the evening side. So that's all good. That's all positive. Just to let you know how I spent my morning, we went into Dublin City Centre and we met up with Brenda Fricker. And we spent a lovely hour or so with Brenda, and we're going to play that out in about 20 minutes' time. Just it's being Oscars weekend, and she is, well, you can debate it, you know. Daniel Day-Lewis, is he an Irishman, is he not? Anyway, Brenda Fricker is an Irish woman, and she won an Oscar for My Left Foot back in 1990. And now they're immortalising Brenda on a stamp. It's not the first time she's been on a stamp, but she's on a stamp again with all the Oscar winners. And that's nice. And we're going to go in, and well, we were in there today, and we had a long chat with her, and we'll be playing that out. Now, before we get to that, we have some live music from The Stunning, and I have to just talk you through a couple of things. Ruth has been on. She says, my sister Eve O'Callaghan is celebrating her birthday today, and she said she always wished that her birthday had been mentioned on the Den on the telly with Zig and Zag when she was younger. I just wondered, could you give her a special Den mention today? That's easy. Eve O'Callaghan, happy birthday to you. I don't have the lads with me to do the birthday wrap or anything like that, but happy birthday to you. And Eve is living over in Luxembourg at the moment, but she tunes into Radio 1 on a regular basis. So your sister Ruth says happy birthday. And sorry we didn't get around to saying happy birthday to you back in the day. Liz McGuire was on the show a couple of weeks ago. She is the lady who collects love letters, which is a lovely thing to do. And we spoke to her at length about that. Anyway, she's arranging a second-hand book sale in Rathfarnham on Sunday to raise funds for the Ukrainian humanitarian aid, the Red Cross. And all proceeds, it says here, going to the Irish Red Cross and their work in Ukraine. So it's happening in, let's get the details right, Revels Pub in Rathfarnham between 1 and 4 this Sunday. All you can carry second-hand book sale for Ukraine, and it's Revels Pub in Rathfarnham. If you're in the area and you like a good read, that's the place to be, and you'll be helping out the Red Cross and their work in Ukraine there as well. Of course, Sunday is Mother's Day, a big day. Don't forget the flowers and the chocolates. And some people are deciding not to do that this year, and they're deciding to give their money to the Red Cross. And that's a nice idea as well. Just let your mum know, maybe with a little note in the card. But nametags.ie, they've done a bit of research to find out what's the most popular name for the Irish mammy. Now, this isn't about mum, mother, ma, mammy, mummy. This is the actual name, as in Joan, Assumpta, Roisin, Niamh, Aisling, whatever. Now, if you were asked that question, what do you think the answer would be? So, the most popular name for an Irish mammy. Yeah, you're right. Mary is the answer. Mary is the answer. Now, here's the thing. So they interviewed loads of people, and they found that a massive 78% of the Irish population have a mum called Mary. And I said, that can't be right. But then I realised there's 9 of us, for example, and my mother, Mammy, Ma, is called Mary. So if, you know, the 9 of us would have been in that survey, we all had a mother called Mary, and we were, you know, so that had been a percentage of the thing. So older women will be called Mary, and they were more likely to have bigger families. Does that make sense to you? Statistically, it does, you see, because the Irish family has decreased over the years, and you'd be hard pressed to find a young family now with 9 children in it. But there you go. 78% of the Irish population have a mum called Mary. You can nearly do it if you're a card company, couldn't you? Put Mary, you have a special line of Mother's Day cards with Mary written on it. You wouldn't go far wrong. The other most popular names for Irish mammies were Maureen, Bridget and Anne. Oh, good old fashioned names. And that is, again, probably to do with the number of children as opposed to the popularity of the name. Do you get me? Yeah. Now, news just in, the Dáil Bar is to become the first hospitality venue in the country to reimpose restrictions on visitors' numbers. And the Irish Independent has revealed online their independent.ie, guests attending the venue inside the Leinster House complex will also be required to wear a mask despite face coverings not being mandatory anymore. So that's a bit of a U-turn, isn't it? And as the numbers go up, they're probably going to have to reintroduce some sort of restrictions because they were leaving it to everybody. And of course, you know, you get a bit lax, don't you? And you leave the mask off. And as a result, the very contagious variant of COVID is spreading like wildfire. It's rampant. Rampant is a word I saw it described as in a paper today. Now, what else? Yeah, let's go to Studio 8 then. Steve Wall and Joe Wall are there, and they're brothers, and they're also part of the Walls, but they're also the Stunning. Hello.
Hello, Ray.
So you're wearing your Stunning hats today.
We are. Yeah.
Do you have to decide every morning whether you're going to be a Wall or a Stunning?
Yeah. It's pretty much that. Which cap will we put on?
Yes.
You know, and we try to make sure that we're both wearing the same ones on the right day.
You get confused. Yeah. I didn't know this, but so you split up as a band and then you re-released Paradise at the Picture House in 2003, and there was a huge demand for gigs. And then you decided you were going to get back together every 4 years, and then you decided every 2 years. And where is it at now?
We haven't really broken up again. That's the thing. We just keep it going.
Yeah, we keep it going. We discovered that there's money to be made in breaking up and reforming. You know, so we broke up in 1994 after 7 years, and then we hadn't intended on reforming, but when we put out Paradise in the Picture House, we reissued it 10 years later because loads of people were looking at it. Everyone had it on cassette back in the day. Something like 90% of the sales of that album are on cassette, and all the cassettes got chewed in the car stereos and the ghetto blasters and the little Walkmans. Thankfully, they got chewed because everybody was looking. Everyone was looking for it on CD.
Yeah.
So we reissued it on our own label, and a chap called Donald Scannell, who and his sister Susan Scannell, they basically approached us and said, "Listen, this is a classic Irish album. What are you going to do to promote it?" And we had no plans to promote it. We were just putting it out on our own label, and they said, "You've got to get the band back together and tour this." So we did it, and it was a huge success. And we didn't realize there were so many people that still want to see the Stunning. All the fans, younger brothers and sisters, there was a whole new audience there.
Yeah.
They were too young to go to gigs at the time,
but they were listening to the cassette.
They heard their older brothers and sisters playing the music in the house, you know.
And that's a phenomenon, isn't it? That the younger brothers and sisters aspire to the musical tastes of their older brothers and sisters.
They probably had no choice. They were probably hearing it in the car on the way to Butlins and wherever. No,
that's a great that one, you know, because I'm sure people listening now, there was only one cassette in the car, and if they were going from Dublin to West Kerry or something like that, it'd get 10 plays on the journey.
We still hear so many stories from people who'd say, "I copied your cassette loads of times, you know, and sent it to friends in Boston and Germany and all of this." And, you know, it was great.
And you said, "That's illegal." You owe me money. Okay, we'll have a longer chat after 4 o'clock, and I'll go over to Studio 8 and join you. But you're going to kick us off today with some live music. What are you going to sing for us, lads?
We're going to sing a song dedicated to Vladimir Putin. This is called "Everything That Rises Has to Fall."
Go for it. Has to fall. Hey, that was great.
Thank you.
That's the stunning. What a great start to the show. Live music from Studio 8. And I'll be over there at about 4:15 and we'll have a chat and another song. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Ray.
See you. Bye. 51551ray@rte.ie. I'll tell you about our quiz in a moment. But first, some of your texts. Ursula has been on. She says, my 11-year-old son, Jack, wrote this rhyme in my Mother's Day card. Gas, says Ursula, might give listeners a laugh. Take care. To thee I say, for looking after me every day, you deserve some wine and a bit of me time. You make me dinner, even when I'm a sinner. And as Mother's Day is, as Mother's Day is here, enjoy yourself and sit on your rear. I'm tired today. I don't know why that is. I hope I'm not getting something. That's what happens, isn't it? You know, when you before you get sick, you feel that sort of little bit of a wobble. Mary says, we're a family of six children with a mother, Mary. Big shout out to Mary O'Neill. That's from Dee, sorry. And my mum's name was Ruby. Is that unique? Kind regards, Geraldine. I wouldn't say there are a lot of older Rubies. I know some younger Rubies. Just to let you know, my mum died last year. She was 101. What a great age. Her name was Kathleen Brophy. But everyone that knows my mum knows her as Lal. Lal Brophy. I was just wondering, did anyone hear that name Lal before? And how do you make Lal out of Kathleen? Kathleen, I don't know. I wonder how she got that name. That's from her daughter, Anne Brophy. And fundraising events for Ukraine, Castle Pollard GAA Westmead Bingo returns on Sunday night at 8:30 after a 2-year COVID break. We're looking forward to meeting all our loyal patrons. And on the first night back, all profits are going to the Red Cross Ukraine Appeal. Would really appreciate it if you give us a shout. There it is. That's from Brian McCabe, Chairman Castle Pollard Hurling and Camogie Club. Good luck with that on Sunday night bingo in the Castle Pollard GAA. Now we'll be talking to Brenda after a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now before we get to Brenda Fricker, just a mention about our quiz. We need two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and answer 3 questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we have a prize, a great prize. It's a 2-night stay for 2 people at Harvey's Point, which is nestled between the stunning Bluestack Mountains and the picturesque Loch Esk. You and your guests will enjoy a delicious full Irish breakfast each morning and a 4-course dinner inspired by the finest seasonal ingredients on one evening in the beautiful lakeside restaurant at Harvey's Point. So whether you want to go exploring the wild Atlantic Way or simply switch off, unwind and relax in style, Harvey's Point is the perfect place to do as much or as little as you might like. Harveyspoint.com, Harveyspoint.com. So 2 people we're looking for after 4 o'clock. And here is your qualifying question for today. This Friday afternoon, Brenda Fricker won her Oscar for her role in My Left Foot. But who starred opposite Brenda and also won an Oscar? So Brenda Fricker won her Oscar for her role in My Left Foot. But who starred opposite her and also won an Oscar? 0818715925. 0818715925. And good luck with that. This morning, a couple of microphones in the car and drove in to meet Brenda Fricker. And she's great company, and we spent about an hour with her, and we're going to play out the interview now. And she's a woman who makes me laugh, and that's the way it started, with a laugh.
He's exhausted after getting the buzzing right. We should celebrate.
Like a little boy setting up a little,
little disco like set up. That's exactly what you look like at the moment, a little grin on your face.
Thanks so much, Brenda, for having us into your house. Because it's you did say the last time we were here and we had to be outside your house that someday you'd invite us in.
Well, it was a lovely day.
It was a beautiful day, as is today.
Well, it was your idea, and we went out, and it was lovely. It was really lovely,
And it was very pleasant.
It was warm. It was June.
Yeah.
That's cold out there today, though.
It is. We wouldn't be sitting out there today. You get cold very quickly. So we're here to celebrate with you, because for the second time in your career, stroke life, you've been featured on a stamp.
It's mad.
Yeah.
It's kind of mad, you know.
There you go. There's a lovely framed. So it's you and Daniel Day-Lewis at the 1990 Oscars. Him with his Best Actor Oscar and you with your Best Supporting Actress Oscar.
One, yes.
And there's
Neil
Jordan.
That is a nice photograph.
Isn't it a lovely photo? It is a lovely
horrible
photograph.
Horrible ones from that night, but that's a nice one.
Yeah, you're staring
the other people
lovingly into each other's eyes. Well, there's Neil Jordan there. And then there is Martin McDonagh.
Writer
and director. And then Glenn Hansard and Markita Erdlova. They won for the song from Once. So they're all Ireland's Oscar winners together.
And that other film, Cova, is that what it's called?
Coda. Oh, what a lovely film. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah.
And the Colleen Kuhn and those ones. I mean, there's
some great stuff. There's
really
some really good stuff around at the moment, yeah. Yeah.
You go back to 1989, there was no Ardmore Studios, basically. Like, it's amazing.
You were groundbreakers.
Well, you had to kind of brush the dust off stage A when we were going in, like, you know.
But I was just reading there today Donald Clark in the Irish Times, and he does a sort of a look back at Ireland's
Who's that man
Oscar
who
wins.
Claims to have designed the Oscar?
Yes, Cedric Gibbons.
11 or
Cedric
that's
Gibbons,
him. Yeah.
He was called Gibby.
He sounds crazy, doesn't he? Yeah.
There's a lovely story actually about him, because he left here as a young lad, went over there, started working in the movie industry, worked for MGM, married an actress called Dolores Del Rio.
Oh, I heard that.
Have you heard her name? Yeah.
Very glamorous lady.
Yes. And then she befriended this Mexican guy, because she was of Mexican extraction, called Emilio Fernandez. And Cedric asked Emilio, would he pose? And he is the body of the Oscar. So you have Emilio.
Is that true, though? That is there's so many stories. Like, you know, that's the truth.
You have Emilio somewhere in this house.
Well, Mexican extraction is fine by me.
Where is it now, as soon as it is Oscar weekend?
It's holding the door.
Yeah. You don't bring it out to play at all.
No, it's too ostentatious to be having it. You know,
the odd time.
Yeah, I have a friend who does a bit of handiwork for me, and he made a little sort of mini dais thing out there, and he put it up, and I was mortified. Every time I went down to go to the loo, I was kind of going, oh, God.
Confronted by your past, is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it's only a prize, like, you know, we're showing off about it.
Yeah. Well, you are the only, there was a guy back in 1945, Barry Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he won.
Marvellous actor.
He won Best Supporting Actor.
Did he?
Back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was nominated for both Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, he was wonderful. Yeah. He was one of our best.
But Donald Clark was saying that you and Daniel Day-Lewis winning the Oscar in 1990 heralded in a new era for creativity in Ireland. That it was the beginning of something.
It was. I agree with that. Well, it was Jim Sheridan and Noel Pearson. And Shane Connaughton, it was those three, mainly Noel Pearson.
Mm.
I think he mortgaged his house like twice or something. He really, really went for it.
To make My Left Foot.
And we were constantly, we'd film for maybe I was in London, and we'd film for maybe 2 days, and there was no money, it's off, it's gone. And I'd be flying back with Daniel, and he'd say, I'm seeing him Monday morning, he wouldn't give up. And we just did it that way. It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
It really was, but Jim is so good.
And there was none of the buzz around the Oscars that we get today. Like, it's a week of a build-up, months of build-up. You get the shortlist, the nominations, and then the week leading up to it, everyone's talked about Ciarán Hinds and Jessie Buckley.
Absolutely. And but you see, what's his name? Oh, gosh, my memory's gone.
I'm your name person. Describe him.
I don't know if it's even a man. Second there. Go back a minute. What were you saying? This is old age.
I was saying there was no build-up back in 1990 to the Oscars.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say that Josie McAvin was the first woman to win an Oscar. But it was for Out of Africa.
Right.
With Meryl Streep and Charles Dance. And it was an American film. So nobody talked about it. Like, it wasn't in the papers, and I met her and I didn't know. I think I'd worked with her even and I didn't know.
But I suppose it was a technical award. It was a technical award.
It was for design.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. She came with us out to the ceremony when we were going. Yeah, lovely woman, elegant and gorgeous, yeah.
And you looked, and I know you've spoken about this so many times, but it is the weekend that's in it. Yeah, you'll forgive me if we talk a little bit more about it. But you looked genuinely, to use a Mary McCallan word, you looked genuinely surprised that night, because
I nearly fainted.
Yeah.
I've told this story before, that when we were doing all the publicity, and you have to do a lot of publicity before, and you're doing like 15 interviews like this a day, it's exhausting. And we were all told to push Daniel, because he was the one, if you're in with a chance. So my name was never mentioned. Like, and I didn't mind at all. We were pushing for Daniel. So that I didn't... It never crossed my mind that my name would come out. You know, there was Angelica Houston, there was Julia Roberts. Yeah. I mean, come on, talk about an outsider. So then I did get an awful shock, yeah.
Well, you were very composed then when you got up to give your acceptance speech.
I think I was a bit pissed because I had drinks before I went. I would never have had a drink if I knew I was going to be called up there, I can tell you. Or had a chance even. I was sneaking out having large double Marys in the break.
How are you? Because I was talking to you recently and you're up and down. How are you today now, for example?
I get good pain days and bad pain days. I had an accident with my back and the corner of a table fell from a height and hit the base of my spine and damaged some nerves. And you can go for 6 months and it's don't feel it. And then you just move the wrong way. And I did this morning.
Oh, right, OK.
And that's horrible. And it's just broken bones of me. It's pain.
Yeah.
I'm very healthy.
Of course, like that's because I reminded myself about at a young age, you were knocked off a bicycle. So you were, was every bone, nearly every bone in your body broken?
2 years in hospital, yeah.
So that sort of comes back to haunt you.
Somebody said to me recently that with all the years in hospital and no schooling and no education and all these things that went on, and she said, with kind of pity in her voice, she said, you did enter the adult world ill-equipped. And it was a very good way of saying it, because any problems I have with society or with socialising or any of that that I didn't learn growing up meant I was ill-equipped.
How? Do you go on? I'm fascinated.
No, I just loved. I just. I know, but I don't. I really picked it up.
I wouldn't see you as being ill-equipped. I didn't meet you when you were 18, 19, 20.
You might have said.
And how did that lack of being equipped? How did it manifest itself? How did you behave?
Yeah, great time. Yeah. I had a great life, Ray.
And you're going to write about it.
You won't talk about that.
We won't talk about that because. You're a very bright woman and you're a great writer. You have a turn of phrase and you have a way of using the English language. And I'm not the first person who said that to you, I would imagine.
No, but it just astonishes me. I mean, it astonishes me that I wrote a précis, I suppose you'd call it, and a friend of mine sent it into a literary agent, and she said it had to go to about 9 or 10 maybe before they'll take you. And the first one took it. And they're marvellous. And they flew over from London the other day. They frightened the life out of me. And sat around the kitchen table. It was very intense. And just very gently squeezing it. Did you write a bit quicker?
All right. There's a deadline, is there?
Because seemingly there's a publisher interested, which again is unusual. So you kind of don't believe any of it. You know, I will do a bit of writing. I know I'm quite good and I'm doing an hour a day. But you kind of think, why am I doing this? I can't do this.
But you have been writing, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, like, and is that part of sort of therapy? Is it something you do to...
Well, it is interesting. And all the things you hear about people when they write books is true. And all sorts of memories that I were well buried are coming up. The one I'm doing at the moment now, my sister Gráinne, the relationship I had with her, I'd kind of forgotten about when we were young, you know, Jan and Kerry together, and how wonderful she was. She was nearly 5 years older than me and a rebel and a leader and my protector, you know, and I can remember we were in the church in Kerry. And we were coming down, it was empty, and we were coming up the aisle to go out. And she held my hand, and she wasn't a physical person like that. And I can remember the feeling of safety and the skin and the warmth, you know. So all that kind of thing.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was a writer. She wrote.
She was a much better writer than I am.
Right.
Truly she was. Yeah. I know she was. Genuinely.
Right. But she told you were a great writer, so...
We're all telling each other.
All slapping each other on the back.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's exciting, isn't it? Do you think it's exciting?
I find it a bit terrifying.
Why?
Because I've never done it before. You know, I have a wonderful young lady called Deirdre Nuttall, who's helping me. And, like, she knows the structure of a book, like chapters and grammar and full stops and spelling, that kind of thing, you know. So she does all that. But I don't know. Like, if you wanted to do a bit of acting, say, on a film, mm-hmm. I could bring you in and I could show you the basic structure of how it works and what you'd have to do, but you'd have to do the acting.
Mm.
So I'm in that kind of a position
uh-huh.
that I don't know how it's made. And I'm...
Yeah, and I remember seeing you tell somebody that you didn't think you could learn how to act. Is that the same with writing?
Did I say that?
You did.
That's interesting. Actually, that's quite a good comment. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not equipped to answer any questions about writing, really. Except there are days when it's, as they say, I promise the people I do an hour a day. And I'm doing that. I've kept my word. But then when something's coming, you look up and 3 hours have gone by. And that's really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And that's when the writing is good. You know, it's not being pushed.
So you're in the zone.
In the zone.
In the zone.
It's a great phrase.
It's flowing.
Yeah.
In the zone. Yeah.
That's from a sport. That's a sports phrase, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But it's and like you described acting as being in, you didn't say the word zone, but your words described being in the zone, if you know what I mean.
I've never used that about acting.
No, you said you described it as coming off a diving board and when your feet leave it. And before
you're in between, that's the enjoyable bit.
Yes, yeah, but that's a zone there, isn't it?
I just don't like the word zone.
Yeah.
It's a place, you know, it's a kind of a happening in a way. Zone just seems like sportsmen getting all with their head down and running fast.
Psychologists and all, they've taken it on now as well. It's sort of like
I still don't like it, Brenda.
Yeah, I know. Great, I won't use it again in your company, Brenda. I'm just trying to explain how the meaning
is. I know
changed.
What it means. I'm a writer. I know what the word means.
We're talking to Brenda Fricker. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll sort ourselves out and we'll talk to you after this.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, welcome back to the Brenda Fricker special. Because you are. Juno's here. Great to see Juno.
Juno, the dog, yes.
So
she got a part in the last film I did.
Oh, did she? Yeah.
Genuinely. She's going to get a credit. She had a contract and she got paid. So I said to the agent, I said, if she gets paid more than I'm getting paid, I'm off to Dublin, leave you here. So yeah, she was brilliant. I never trained her to do any of that.
And what, just be yourself, I suppose?
No, right, just stopping and starting and called out from behind a bush and going, little things like that. And it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, Tyke O'Sullivan, the young director who directed that, it's so easy, he flows easy, and he's terrific. He's one of the best I've worked with. And he'll ease something in like that that's not planned, you know. And I was just walking along the beach with the dog, and he just said, keep the dog, because I was going to say, you know, piss out. And we kept walking, and I had to walk to the sea, the edge of the sea, and I had high Wellingtons on, and I had to go in as deep as the Wellingtons were. And it was freezing. Like, it was Christmas and winter.
Where are we? Somewhere on the West Coast?
On Ballyvaughan.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful place. So she had to come in beside me. And she looked at the little short legs of her. The water was up to her belly, like. And she was turning to go. And there was no microphones. So I was able to whisper, stay, stay. And for 5 minutes, she just stood there. I mean, she was so good, like.
She loves you. Don't you, Juno?
No, I just don't.
Look at that. That's it.
Don't, never fool a dog. Here.
There you go. Oh, I see. Yes, treat. There you go, Juno.
Yeah. That's
so you, when will we see it. That? When will we see that? Is it a feature length or?
No, it's wonderful. I don't know if you saw a film Up to the Sun, Up to the Moon. Beg your pardon. Sorry.
I watched a bit of it.
That's his film.
Yeah.
So he's a documentary maker. But I don't know how long he would take to edit that because I don't know about documentaries. But I suppose it'll be out sometime.
Some stage. What is out at the moment, and episode 3 is on Monday for people.
Oh, God, episode 3.
Right, holding, yeah.
Because that's the episode where I have the 6-page speech.
Oh, dear.
Nightmare time.
So for people who haven't seen it, Brenda plays the part of Mrs. Meany. Deneen is the name of the town. And she's you're the housekeeper for the sergeant, Sergeant Collins.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that was a thing.
After him. Yeah. That's like the old-fashioned priest town.
Yes, yeah. And you're in the thick of it.
Yes. Well, I'm a mysterious kind of woman. Nobody knows anything about her background. She was a blow-in and, you know, she cleaned people's houses and whatever. And she ended up with Conleth
Hill, who plays Sergeant Collins.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. But the thing about Conleth, he's the wittiest man I've ever met anywhere in the world. And you'd be trying to do a bit of acting and he'd walk past you and he'd say something and you just crease up, you know. But he's a lovely actor. And it's all on his shoulders.
Yeah.
God love him, you know. So, but I haven't seen it, so I hope it goes well.
On Monday night, anyway, you have a big 6-page speech.
Yeah. Which was a lot of rewriting on. Yeah. That's the reason I did the part, actually.
For that, yeah.
Just to see, could that 77, could I learn 6 pages?
And how did you go about doing that?
I put my head down in the kitchen and didn't go out for a month.
Did you? Right. Yeah. It took you a month.
Took me about a month, yeah. It's very hard. It's longer than any speech in Shakespeare. Like, it's very, and it's a story. Now, we did have to change it quite a bit in the middle, and I can't tell you what it is because it's the answer to the whole mystery.
Yeah, well, don't, spoiler alert, don't, yeah.
And we had to expand on that. It's just, I found it hard, but then once I knew it, I was grand. You know, I wasn't forgetting it and wasn't drying or anything like that.
And would you be walking around the house here sort of saying it to yourself? Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, and I have a little tape recorder that you can help yourself with.
Right, and do you record yourself and play yourself back?
Yeah.
That's a good idea,
isn't
it?
That's a great idea, yeah.
Yeah, because you're getting it both ways. You're reading it and you're hearing it.
And you can do it really fast and you can do it really slow.
Yes.
It can make noises to interrupt you when you can do all kinds of things with a little tape recorder. It's only about that size.
Yeah.
It's a good actor's tool.
There was a guy in RTE who remained nameless who used to, when he was doing his pieces to camera, if he was doing reports, he used to record them, put the little dictaphone in his pocket, have a headphone going and talk along with himself. So he never had to learn them. He developed this skill.
Wow.
Yeah, which worked really well for him until there was one of those big...
What about a breakdown?
Remember one of those big kidnaps and he had to do it live. So he was completely effed then.
He couldn't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do. He was stumbling and stammering and all that sort of thing. Yeah. But that's Monday night and it will be on Virgin Media One eventually. They haven't told us exactly when.
Is it a good show?
Well, I'm enjoying it.
Really.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm interested in watching
it. It's Ballycus Angel with a Murder.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
And it's showing off you and Pauline MacLean.
Just to show you sit down and at the end of a long day and enjoy.
That's exactly what it is.
No big challenge.
It's like a bit of a hug with a murder.
That's lovely.
I'd say you love your space. This is a lovely, lovely house. I was saying to you before we went on, you know, started recording that you should enter it for Home of the Year.
No, I think it's only when you come in that you get a surprise.
Yes.
That in such a tightly built little cottages around the area, you don't expect this much space. Like when tall people come in, it's lovely. They kind of stretch their arms and go like that. No, I love my little house, I must say. Pure fluke that they came up.
Yes, at the time, and you had the money from my left foot.
Pure fluke, yeah. They went for no money. Well, I spent a fortune doing them up.
Mm.
But pure fluke that they won. I wonder if a fourth one will come up on those streets. The Beatles had that in the film, didn't they?
Flicker Square.
Flicker Square.
Has a nice ring to it. As it is, I won't say who it's named after because people are giving away your address. No connection whatsoever. Yeah, but it's lovely here. We're in your... This is your bedroom.
The playroom, I call it.
Right, okay.
All the action. My bedroom used to be the second house because you have to change everything when you get another space.
Yeah.
So that used to be the bedroom. Lovely sitting room, lovely little fireplace. It was all set up there. And then this came up. So I just knocked all the walls down. And then I thought, well, that's a nice light room. So I moved the bed in here.
It's lovely and spacious and all the things they say, you know, lovely natural light and lovely space and all that sort of thing. Christopher Hitchens. Aha. Spotted that out of the corner of my eye.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. Death.
Yes, he writes a lot about death.
Yeah, yeah.
He died of cancer, didn't he?
I dip it, yeah. And sometimes I saw an interview with him when he was very, very, very ill. And he was still lucid and brilliant in his talking, you know. Mm. I have a real crush on that man for years and years and years.
He's dead now.
I know that, but I mean, a crush on his work, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's a kind of dip into book.
Yeah. And is that on death and other things?
It's on a load of other things. Like, it's like essays, if you like, yes, on different subjects.
Yeah.
But I love, like, you're getting such good form when you read good writing. Don't say back to writing, Brenda, don't mention the word. He's just a very good craftsman.
Yes, yeah. And is that part of your fear of your own writing? You know, because you recognise brilliant writing. And is it a fear
of... I don't think I'm afraid of my own writing.
No, but...
I think I'm just very... I get very surprised, Ray, when people say to me that you're good at something. Because I'm not saying that I'm going around saying I'm rubbish or anything like that, but I kind of live in a little world of my own, and somebody says to me, you're very good at acting. And you go, what? Am I? Oh, thanks very much. No, I'm not. No, that wouldn't influence me, apart from the pleasure of reading it.
Yeah, and I know you know we talked about it before. Your mother would have told you that you weren't good at anything. But I think you've probably reached a stage of your life, have you, that you realise that you know you are good at acting and that you're loved, and that's the thing. And I suppose back.
No, I do know that people are fond of me. I get that in the street. It's lovely.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, when the 25th person comes up to you in the street and says, are you Brenda Ricker? I kind of say, on Tuesdays and Thursdays now. But it used to annoy me, but I like it now. It's so easy to give people a bit of pleasure, you know. But talking about this stamp.
Yes.
And mentioning my mother there. Oh, I wish she was alive for this. She would have been so proud and delighted with this, you know. And my father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she never saw any of your success?
No, she died when she was 58.
Yeah.
My father didn't bother coming to the Oscars with me. My sister didn't come. Nobody came with me. Oh, a good friend of mine turned her. She kind of felt sorry for me and she turned around and she came with me. She was wonderful.
And why didn't they go? Why didn't they go?
I don't know. My father said years later he had angina and he was terrified that he'd have a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
He could have said that to me, you know, because it was a little bit lonely because it's a huge family thing, you know. If you watch them now, you see it. I mean, family's everywhere, hugging and kissing them. So I did kind of miss it a bit. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So Jesse Buckley then.
My Jesse.
So you're what's the relationship?
Well, I championed Jessie when I saw her first. And I think I told you I've done something I've never done before and probably will never do again. I phoned Ryan Tubridy, who has the best black book in Ireland, and said, have you got a number for Jessie Buckley? And he said, I have. And I said, phone her up and ask her, can I phone her? So she did. She said, phone me. And I did. And we have this lovely relationship now. We've never met. And I've decided that we're never going to meet because it's just like they say that you're sharing crossroads relationship. She's a lovely writer. And I think I mentioned to you before, she can actually write in a Kerry accent.
Right.
You couldn't. You can't. If you read it out loud, it's Kerry. You can't do anything else, you know. And she's lovely. She's a lovely, lovely, lovely young girl. And she is bursting with talent. And if she doesn't win this year, she'll be there again. She'll be there again.
Well, we wish her good luck.
Oh, yes.
And her parents.
It's a very heavy field she's in.
Yes, it's a tough one.
But it wouldn't matter if she doesn't win this year. In fact, in a way, I think it's better if she doesn't win.
Yeah, because you told me before that it changes things.
Yeah.
And probably not always in a good way.
Not always in a good way at all. But if you, once you're nominated, you're in the door of the club, so to speak. Therefore, if you are nominated and you don't win, all the young directors who want to do something will come running, chasing you down the street because they think you're going to win next year, you know. But if you win, nobody talks to you.
You haven't changed, but their attitude to you has changed. That's the thing, yeah.
I don't know what happens to people. It's weird, isn't it?
Have you got the other, have you got the previous stamp anywhere?
I got it out for you. It's out on the kitchen table.
Oh, is it? Really? Is it brilliant? Because
it's a green leather fold. Oh, is
it?
That
I'd love to see that. Because I looked it up on Google and there was no image of it.
It's a picture, frame from the film.
Yeah.
Where I'm in the church and I'm lighting candles. And little Hugh O'Connor, who was so brilliant in that. And it was turned into the most charming man. And it was written a film script that we're all going to try and get it done for him. But you couldn't, it was darker.
Ah, yes,
you see
yes,
how it's
yes.
a bit darker?
That, yeah, is that it there? That's you there? Is it? Yes, it is, it is. Yes, it's very small. And there, that's...
And he's in the old box that I...
He's playing the young Christy Brown there. A 32p stamp.
There should have been two Oscars.
Go on.
He has as much film time.
Oh, yes, in it as Daniel.
And they have done it before. They did it with Tatum O'Neill. And they did it 100 years ago with somebody else. So they
split the Oscar. Gave,
they really should have.
And can I see it just before we go? I know that's ridiculous, isn't it? I know, it's such a child.
Well, you know where it is.
Right, well, is it this way?
No, it's the other
one. The other one, okay. Right.
Oh, yes.
You, if you can find it there. Such a child. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the plan now for you? Do you watch the Oscars?
Ah, yes, I would, yes.
Because you're nocturnal.
I've been invited over this year.
Oh, have
if
you?
I was in better health, I'd go. Oh. But I wouldn't be up to it now.
Who invited you, can I ask?
The
Academy.
The Academy.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Oh, look
For
at
some
this.
Reason, they like me.
Oh.
The weight of it always surprises you, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's 8 pounds.
Is it? It's somebody weighed it. Wow.
8 pounds.
Yeah.
And 24 carats.
It's heavy,
all right. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why people...
That's why it's a good doorstopper.
And that's why people tend to... They move their hand because
But I've always said to you, the people who can do that, I can't do it because of my shoulder, but they hold it right up in the air.
Yeah, that's.
But you can see their arm kind of going, unless they're big, strong men.
Yeah, sort of wilting.
Exactly. And if you want very carefully, when they pick it up the first time, it's just a little micro movement down. You know,
oh, yeah, because they're surprised. Yes, yeah, exactly. Unless, of course,
exactly,
you're like Daniel Day-Lewis, then you're on your third one.
Your fourth one.
Here you go, Emilio. It's me and you again. Brenda, great to see you.
And it's lovely to see you.
Yeah,
it always is.
And it's great that you're on another stamp. You're going to go for three, maybe, like Daniel with his Oscars. And talk soon. And I brought some corny bread for you. It's a little bit overdone.
You're so nice.
Yeah, it's out in the car. I'll bring
and
it
you
in
brought
too.
Little presents last time as well.
Yeah, sure. Look, you're having us into your home, so thanks very much. Right.
You have to pay me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brenda Fricker. Thank you, Brenda. Yay!
The Ray Thank Darcy you, Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Loads of texts coming in about Brenda Fricker, and we'll get to those in a few minutes' time. But Anish Toshin on the Preve Skelton, a note to Le Maura de Wallace. Grandma, good morning. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Now, we spoke about loads of things there with Brenda Fricker. And Bernie has been on, he says, the reason people are lying on hospital beds and in nursing homes is not because they don't want to live. It's because basically we have become a very selfish nation. We don't want to take care of our own in their own homes. They don't feel loved. I'm so upset listening to you and Brenda. How many are lying on beds today not wanting to end their lives but might feel after listening to you too that that's the way to go? Asks Bernie. And at what point in your life, Ray, did the taking of a human being's life become acceptable and humane behaviour? Your guest believes that elderly people who, according to her, have no quality of life should be what? Done away with? Both of you are gone completely astray, says that person there. And then other stuff on Brenda. Brenda was superb in the new series Holding Fantastic, and it's episode 3 on Monday night. And I'd like to leave a message for Brenda. My late actor uncle Chris Gannon always told us to watch out for Brenda, saying she was going to be a great actress. That's from his niece, Alicia. I'm just spooling down through these now. Give me a chance. The Brenda film I really loved was Ballroom of Romance, as Kath, and she's a national treasure, so somebody else. Loved Brenda in Home Alone. Lovely Brenda. I worked for Joel Schumacher on Veronica Guerin, and Brenda was lovely, as was Joel.
And Joel loved Brenda. And please tell Brenda I love her to bits. There's no nonsense about her. She's funny and humble and a great actress. That's Marie in Rathfarnham. And other things from the first hour that we didn't get to. My aunt, Lally Lawler, also known as Lal, she died in 2016, age 102. Her first name was Kathleen as well. So obviously Lal is an abbreviation of Kathleen. It looks like that anyway. That's from Isabel Duggan. Thanks for that, Isabel. And Everything That Rises, loved Everything That Rises from The Stunning, brings me back to hearing it fresh on the radio, learning it is my first song on guitar, age 14, fado, says David and Nace. And we've more music from The Stunning coming up in about 10 minutes time or so. And afternoon, did you realise that mothers all over the country are going to lose out on an hour in bed on Mother's Day? Didn't realise that, Linda, didn't put two and two together there, but you're right. So more important then, if you can, that you make breakfast for the special person in your life on Sunday. And Lal, name of Kathleen Brophy, RIP, Aaron here. When I was a child, one of my cousins used to refer to her gran as Lala. So we're getting to the bottom of that, Lal, there. Now, let's get to our quiz. Here we go. Yeah, we have two quizzers waiting. We have three clips each for them. Bits of songs, TV shows, news reports, etc. And a prize. And it's a two-night stay in Harvey's Point up in Donegal, nestled between the stunning Bluestack Mountains and picturesque Loch Esk. And you can do as little or as much as you like up there. You're right beside the Wild Atlantic Way, or you can just switch off, unwind and relax in style. Harvey's Point is the perfect place to do as much or as little as you might like. harveyspoint.com. Maria Kelly, how are you doing, Maria?
Oh, hi Ray, how are you? I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good to talk to you today. Where are you?
I'm parked in on the N81 just outside Baltinghast. Aha. In County Wicklow.
And you're going where from where?
I'm going from Grangecon, where I live, into Baltinghast.
Right.
When I got a phone call first, I was on my way out to collect the cows, and then when I went out for the cows, I had to bring an alternator or a starter into Baltinghast.
Right.
So I have a great variety of things going on.
I'm presuming you're a farmer then, or married to a farmer.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that's it.
And the cows, how many do you have?
A good few. We don't say how many we have. To be honest, I don't know the exact number.
Right. Okay, yeah. Well, that's I was expecting. I was expecting that answer. Yeah, yeah. A fair few.
Yeah.
And when you're bringing them in to me, do you bring them in to be milked?
Yes, that's it. Taking them in, taking my walk in the evening, and bringing them in to be milked.
Yeah, and do they cross the road, or where do you?
No, it's all down through fields and along by ditches and hedgerows and.
Handy.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice walk. So you're married to Kieran, who's the farmer, and and yourself a farmer, I suppose. And five daughters, are they all gone or?
They're all gone, yeah, most of the time, and then they arrive back at weekends and holiday times and everything. They're all grown up on us.
Right. And any of them, you know, in a farming situation, no?
Oh yeah, we have a couple of them who are studying agriculture and into milking and dairying and dairy science, whatever it takes, they're into us, yeah.
And without interfering with any domestics there, is there talk about any of them in, you know, working the land?
Sure, they're all working it at the moment.
All right, okay, that's a very, very diplomatic answer there,
yes,
Maria.
Yeah, they're all working away.
Right, okay. You're up against Mary Sweetman, who's in Finglas in Dublin. How are you doing, Mary?
How you doing, Ray? How are you?
Good, good. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you. Good,
right.
Thank you.
And you're in transit as well?
No, I'm not in transit. No, I'm at home.
Oh, sorry. I thought it says here you're going to your sister Carmel's.
Oh, sorry. I will be calling around to her later. Yes,
right.
I will.
Okay.
I will, to enjoy a bit of sunshine in her garden.
Right, okay. She's a nicer garden, is that it?
Yes, yeah, she has. I have to say, unfortunately, yes, she has a much nicer garden than mine, so I'm going to be enjoying that garden.
And,
yes.
And she would be your person of choice to bring up to Harvey's Point if you win today?
She would, yeah. My brother's in Buncrana, yes, so would bring her close enough.
Makes sense, yes.
So it would be nice to get across to see him.
And I spoke across you there. Were you about to say you enjoyed Brenda Fricker? Was that no? You weren't, were you going to say that?
No, but I do. I have to say, big fan, and I loved her interview with Tommy Tiernan.
Yes.
I thought she was super.
Yeah, she's a very funny woman. Very funny woman.
Yes, she is lovely. She is lovely, yeah.
How are you on the quizzes?
I wouldn't say I'm great, no.
Right. Maria, how are you?
Butcher.
Oh, sure, I think I'm great every day at home, but it's different when you ring in.
Right, let's see how you do then, both. So three clips each. If you go for a shorter clip, 2 points. That'll earn you 2 points. And the longer clip, because it's easier, you'll get you 1 point. Whoever has the most points at the end of it wins the prize. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck, Maria. Good luck, Mary. Here we go.
Thanks, Marie. Thank you.
Okay, Maria, the year is 1979.
Oh, God.
Right, yeah, that's a long way back. And we're starting with we're starting with TV.
Okay.
TV. So do you want a long clip or a short clip?
I'll take short.
Short, okay. This children's television show about a scarecrow who comes to life debuted on Irish television in 1979. Can you name it? Here is your clip.
Oh, no, is it Wurzel Gummidge?
It is Wurzel Gummidge, yes. Well done. Well done.
The only scarecrow I could think of.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, you're right. You get your 2 points. And to you, Mary, we're still television, still 1979. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll go short.
Go short, okay.
Yeah.
This Irish television series was, according to the RTE Guide, back in 1979, one of the most popular children's TV shows of that year. Can you name it?
Wanderley Wagon?
It is Wanderley Wagon, yes.
Oh!
Lovely memories there, yeah. Okay, so it's 2-2. Good start from both of you. Back to you, Maria, for question number 2. 1979, we're in the charts. How are you on music from that year? Do you want to go long or short?
I wouldn't say I'm good, but I'll have to go short.
You're going short. Okay, this song was number 1 in the Irish charts in the spring of 1979. We want the name of the song or the name of the singer. Here we go.
Elaine Page?
No, it wasn't Elaine Page. It was Gloria Gaynor.
Oh.
I Will Survive. First, okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, a chance for you, Mary, to go in front. You still have the choice. It's music from 1979. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll go long.
You're going to go long on this one for 1 point. Okay. So this, number 1 in 1979, the Irish charts. Name the song or the singers. Here we go. Name of the song with the name of the singers.
The Bee Gees.
Yes, the Bee Gees. Yes, Tragedy. Yes. And you get a point for that. Tragedy. So you're on 3, Mary, and Maria, you're on 2.
Okay.
We're down to the final question, and it's on news and current affairs from 1979, Maria. So do you want to go long or short?
I'll go short again.
Yes, okay. So this public figure did a 3-day tour of Ireland in 1979. Can you name him? And here is your clip for 2 points.
Touches down in the Phoenix Park. An eruption of welcome from 1¼.
So who's he talking?
John Paul II.
Yes, you're right. That was the late Brian Farrell. Brilliant broadcaster. And you're right, Pope John Paul II. That brings you up to 4 points. Now, you can't do any more, Maria. Mary, you're on 3. If you go for a short clip and get it right, you're today's winner. If you go for a long clip and get it right, it's a draw. It goes to a tie break. And if you don't get it right, and then Maria is today's winner. So what are you going to do?
Okay. TV, I'm not sure I'm great on. I'm going to go long.
You're going to go long. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And this will bring us to a tiebreak situation if you get it right. So this famous film star turned royal, also visited Ireland in 1979. Can you name her? And here is the clip.
Been aware of it for many, many years through Lord Killannon specifically. And years ago, I came to visit several rehearsals with him. So it's very nice to participate. And it's always a pleasure to be in Dublin.
So a famous film star turned royal.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question initially.
So it's a famous film star turned royal who visited Ireland in 1979.
Oh, Grace Kelly?
Yes, it is Grace Kelly. So that gets you a point. So you're on 4. Maria's on 4. We're in a tiebreak situation.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Okay, so we asked you a question before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners at home. And the question was, according to Google Maps, how long would it take you to drive from Mahon Bridge in County Waterford to Headford in County Galway? And your guess, Maria, was?
3 hours and 3/4.
3 hours 45 minutes. Okay, it's 234 kilometres. And Mary, your guess was
3 hours 15.
You said 3 hours 13, or you said 3 hours 15. The correct answer is 3 hours 13. Sorry, I mixed up there. So you are the closest by 2 minutes. Sorry about that, Maria.
Oh, no problem at all.
We're going to send we'll send you out a couple of Radar Show mugs, one for you and one for Kieran.
Great, thank you.
And good luck with the alternator and the cows and everything else. And have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. See you, Maria. Bye. Mary, well done.
Thank you.
So that's a surprise now when you go around to Carmel's. You can tell her we're all going to Donegal. Yeah, well done.
I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled because I'm dying to get up to see my brother in Donegal. That'll be super.
Lovely. So harveyspoint.com, you can find out what's in store for you. Enjoy the sunshine and enjoy Harvey's Point. Lovely talking to you, Mary.
Thanks.
Well done. See you now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And now back we go to Studio 8 and to the stunning Joe and Steve Wall. How are you doing, lads, again?
Hi, Ray. How are you, Ray? We're still here in the bunker.
Well, it sounds great. It sounds great. So you've become a sort of a, this is your word, not mine, a festival band, which is great.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. We tend to do, the Stunning tend to do a lot of gigging in the summertime, which is great. All the outdoor gigs. And one of the things that is brilliant in Ireland at the moment is that there's a lot more smaller festivals than there used to be, and they're really good all around the country. And a lot of it actually is community based and very often in affiliation with the GAA, the local GAA, and they organise really good gigs now. So some of our best gigs in the last number of years have been those kind of gigs.
They appreciate you coming down, I suppose. So I'm looking at the stunning Claire Morris Folk Festival. That's Sunday, May 1st. July 17th, the Galway International Arts Festival. August 12th, Revival Festival, Listowel. And then a big gig in December, which seems a long way away. But you're in the Olympia Theatre on December 10th.
Actually my birthday, Ray.
It's just birthday. Right.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a new one added to that, Ray, that's... Saturday, June 11th, were the Knoll in the Knoll Garden Party.
Okay. Well. And that's Saturday, June 11th.
Saturday, June 11th, Knoll Garden Party.
Right.
And the Olympia is Joe's birthday. It's not a particularly significant one, but on December 10th, but I'm sure we'll celebrate it.
I'm sure you will.
The last time I tried to shake a bottle of champagne on stage on the Olympia was back when they used to do the midnight at the Olympia gigs. And I can't remember what we were celebrating. Someone had given us a bottle of champagne. I think we had a number one album or something.
I think we were celebrating somebody giving us a bottle of champagne, actually.
I was shaking the bottle, and then the cork came off, and as I was shaking it, the whole bottle, because it was wet, flew out of my hand and into the front of the audience. I don't know who it hit, but they didn't seem to be too bothered about it.
That was in the pre-health and safety years, where you'd be delighted to be hit by a champagne bottle.
You wouldn't be allowed to do that now. I didn't know this, and I've been speaking to you for over 30 years, interviewing you on radio and television, but you're originally from Dublin. I sort of should have known that there was something different about you. You weren't pure country lads.
The accent, probably.
Yes, yeah. So, Steve, when did you leave Dublin?
We moved down to, I was 13 years old, so Joe would have been a couple of years younger than me.
11, yeah.
11, and we moved down to, because our mother was from the Liberties in Dublin, and our dad is from Ennistymon, County Clare. So we moved down there to take over his family's shoe shop.
Right.
So that's what we did.
It was 1976.
1976. And it was very interesting because it was sort of like going back in time. Rural Ireland was very different then, not like it is now. So we were plonked straight into the Christian Brothers, which was a bit of a shock.
But I suppose it made you the man you are today.
Absolutely.
And that combination of the 10 years or so in Dublin and the rest of it down there.
Yeah, we wouldn't change it for the world, Ray.
Yeah.
We're kind of a mongrel breed.
And your mum was true blue dub, was she?
Yeah, true blue dub. So it was a big change for her as well, but she was great. You know, she got involved with the Burren Action Group. We just planted a tree for her, actually, in her memory, up in the Burren facing Mullaghmore Mountain, because the Burren Action Group got together to try and stop a development at the mountain, which would have actually destroyed the place. So that was a 12-year battle, and they won. So it was great. It's still an area that's untouched by man, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
A very rare win, Ray, you know, to win a battle like that, like that 15 yeah. year battle against the state.
And that's lovely, planting a tree in memory of your mum. She died
2018.
4 years ago now, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And you miss her terribly by the sounds of it.
Ah, yeah, she was fantastic, you know. She was the one, I suppose, she introduced us to a lot of music growing up, you know. There was a great, in her house in Dublin, there was all our aunts and everything, and our granddad and grandparents, they had fantastic record collections. So that's where we heard music first. There was Elvis records, and all our aunts had records from the likes of the Kinks and Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald. There was, you know, all the generations in that family. There was 7 of them. So,
and my mother was also, our mother, sorry Steve, she was big into classical music as well, so she had a lot of classical records, and her big favourite was Delius. She loved Delius.
So you were steeped in music of all kinds.
Steeped in it, yeah.
And you were acting away, Steve.
Well, acting the maggot.
Acting the aegis, yeah.
yeah.
What will be, anything you should tell us about? Or?
I did a show last summer, a Western. And so I'm really excited about this one. I think it's going to be fantastic. It was shot in Spain, but it's in an area that looks like Montana and Wyoming, because that's where it's set. So it's set in the like 1890s when America was being carved up, I suppose, into big cattle ranches and all of that. And all these settlers, clodbusters or sodbusters, as they were called, were sort of coming head to head with ranchers and all of that. So it's a 6-part series. Emily Blunt is the star. And I'm in it with Stephen Ray as well, and a group of fantastic cast.
And is it Netflix or what is it?
It'll be Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
And BBC. Yeah.
Oh, and the BBC. Great. Yeah.
So that's next autumn.
Okay. And do you mind me asking about your brother, Vincent? Because people will know that, you know, that horrific thing that happened in 2017, and you lost your niece in that terrible car accident. How is Vincent doing?
Vinny's doing pretty good. Yeah, he's doing fine. If you were to meet him, Ray, you wouldn't really notice anything, you know. A lot of he does have issues. He had quite a serious brain injury, so he still has sort of lingering issues from that he may never totally shake off. And also sort of neurological things in terms of his eyesight. He's problems with his eyesight and movement as well. And at certain times, I think it's kind of one of these intermittent things that comes up, creeps up on him when he least suspects it. But generally, he's getting on well, and he's in good form and
good,
getting on with
good
things,
to hear.
You know.
Good to hear. Yeah. And our thoughts are with himself and Amy. Horrific, thank you. Horrific story. Now, you're going to sing us out. Is this brand spanking new music?
Yeah,
it is. You've got a radio exclusive.
World exclusive
on the radio.
Yeah, right, go when you're ready.
This song hasn't even been recorded.
Okay,
yeah,
it's that
so
new.
Hopefully this will heal some of the hatred in the world at the moment and all the
we can do with that.
The bad vibes and everything. Yeah. It's called Some Sweet Love.
The stunning.
See the first cracks of light as day erases night from the sky, and the rain like champagne dances on the pavement where you lie, and the cold cannot enter this place. Well, I've got all I want, all I need, all I got. Well, I woke up in a hotel in a city from a desolate dream. Through the walls I hear the chaos and the calls of a million machines, and the sirens wailing just like the song of a desperate bird singing. Treasure, and I blew all the cash in my stash in the pursuit of pleasure. But all of that, it just leaves me cold, 'cause you're my silver and gold. All I want, all I got, all I need is some sweet love. All I need is some sweet, sweet love. Someone to have and to hold, someone to tell. Seems endless, streets full of ice, all ways have been banished, everything has a price. All I need is some sweet love. All I need is some. Tell the untold. All I need is some sweet love. Some sweet love. Some sweet love. Some sweet love.
That's lovely, lovely harmonies. The Stunning, Joe and Steve Wall. And you can find out about gigs, thestunning.net. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Mind Thanks, yourself. Rick. Stay safe. Bye. That's it from us. Cormac is on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Enjoy the bit of sunshine and the extra hour that we're getting of daylight. Talk to you on Monday at 3 o'clock.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.